So last week, my teammate Joseph decided he wanted to become an editor. I wanted to get him the best computer to be able to handle it, but it was a bit of a dilemma.
Yeah, we couldn't decide whether to go with Mac or Windows.
Turns out that in 2023, there are now vast differences between what the two can do. So I've ended up buying both kinds of machines so that we can test them and figure out which is actually better. Oh yeah, and this video is being edited by Joseph using the computer we choose. So you'll be experiencing the results.
Starting now.
So our total budget was £1,600 here in the UK, which if you go for Mac, allows you to get the absolute highest end new 15-inch MacBook Air that currently exists. And with this same budget, you can also afford to go for one of the very best on the Windows end. So this is the 2023 Dell XPS 15. And I gotta say, I've unboxed a lot of Windows laptops in my time. This is one of the best presentations I've ever seen. As always, the Apple unboxing experience is not generous, but quality. Love the braided magnetic cable, which is also now color matched to whichever laptop you pick. And then a couple of manuals and stickers and the wall adapter. The Dell's power cable is a little less pretty, but you do get a free little USB hub that gives you an HDMI and one full-size USB. And, the other side of the cable. This is a brick. All right, anyways, it's peel time. Always my favorite moment. I'm sure that the quality of the presentation of Apple products is a big part of why so many people give them as gifts. But in this particular case, I think it's been bested in the unboxing experience very slightly by the Dell XPS 15. Now, as far as build quality goes, my preconception was that the MacBook would be a noticeable step up. Every MacBook I've used in the last 10 years has felt structurally unbreakable with their 100% aluminium enclosures and very few individual parts, whereas I've used a lot of, even expensive, Windows laptops made of cheap plastic that literally starts creaking the moment you take them out of the box. But that's not really the case here. The XPS 15 is machined aluminium paired with a carbon fiber palm rest. It's got these really snazzy, glossy accents on the sides. The hinges are both very firm and can be opened, most importantly, with minimal fingering. And while both laptops will make a little bit of noise if you apply a lot of pressure, because the material is so thin, neither feels like they're about to fall apart anytime soon, so we'll give them a draw. The Dell does have more ports though, and you'll tend to find this on Windows versus Mac in general. Considering it's such a slim laptop, it's really cool to see them fit in not just three ultra-fast USB-C ports, but also an SD card slot and a security lock port to chain it to a desk, compared to just the two USB-Cs and no card slot that you get on the Mac. As a general rule, Apple goes for ultra-minimalism in everything they do, so you'll tend to get exactly what they think you'll need and nothing extra. So in a very surface level way, Windows takes the ports category too. But it's not a whitewash. There's a couple of redeeming factors for this near portless Mac. One, that instead of using a USB-C charger, it uses MagSafe, which I way prefer. It snaps into place, it feels satisfying. But most importantly, if you accidentally walk into it, it's less likely to pull your laptop off the table with it and shatter it into oblivion. This is what happens if you walk into the Dell's cable. Yeah, I've covered the floor in bedding because I do not trust this. It's a pretty snazzy pull, a little twirl at the end. Two, that the Apple charger is this nice, slick, tidy thing that you can fit in a pocket, which is only possible because of how Apple's engineered their laptops to have lower power requirements, compared to the Dell brick, which is literally like lugging a whole second gadget around with you at all times. And then three, the fact that when you do plug your Dell in, because the charger is USB-C, you are losing one of the three USB ports that you could have used for something else. But then you turn them on, and you're faced with the component that you're going to spend the vast majority of your time looking at. The screens. And for this, the Mac is quite a bit sharper. Windows laptops tend to stick to industry standard resolutions, which in most cases is 1920 by 1080, or in this case, 1920 by 1200. But Apple pays very little attention to what the number itself is, and instead just focuses on making what they call a retina display. A resolution such that, from the distance you'll be viewing any screen from, you shouldn't be able to see any individual pixels. So you'll end up with some strange sounding resolution numbers, like in this case, 2880 by 1864. But hey, I mean, in the end, that is 2.5 times the number of pixels versus the Dell. Plus, you can probably tell this even through the camera, the fact that it's a glossy screen also helps with the way that it represents color. Is it a 2.5 times better screen? No. There are definitely diminishing returns to having more pixels. Both screens are just as bright as each other, and I obviously prefer the bezel-less look that the Dell XPS 15 has going on, as opposed to Apple's dreaded notch. But the Mac is still a little better here. And I suppose if you are going to have a notch, then at least you benefit from it on the MacBook, with Apple having more room to slide in a better webcam. So this is the Dell's webcam. It's 720p. Have a look at this. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like the way it's representing the skin tones, I look ill, you look pretty ill.
Thanks.
And this is the Mac, which is 1080p, and that's one factor that definitely makes it look better, but it's not just a resolution thing. Like, the skin tones look better, the exposure is more consistent, the background behind us actually looks like the background behind us. What are you doing?
Nothing, it's fine, just testing it.
Oh, yeah, and then as an icing on the cake, you're also going to sound better on the Mac. The audio has a level of richness to it which the Dell lacks. This one very much sounds like you are using an inbuilt microphone. One thing that very few people seem to consider when they buy a new laptop, but that they really should, is the keyboard. I actually managed to give myself a pretty severe repetitive strain injury last year from using a keyboard that had a high level of impact. I don't think this will be an issue for everyone, but if you feel like you are susceptible to this, then I would slightly veer away from the Mac. I'd say that Apple, generally, just doesn't like their keyboards to be in any way at all squishy, so they make it quite a sharp, clicky key press with minimal cushioning. That makes it nicer to use. It's more satisfying than the noticeable springy that you get in the Dell's keyboard, but it is also conducive to more hand strain if you're going to spend a long time typing. To be honest, either way, if you use your laptop at home, then you're better off just going for a proper ergonomic mouse and keyboard, like this stuff is from the Logitech Ergo range. Because clawing your hand around a trackpad all day is also not the best for you. But if you had to, then between these two, just like the keyboards, Apple's trackpad is the nicer one to use. Now don't get me wrong, it's great that Windows has caught up a lot when it comes to how you can use your trackpad to fluidly interact with your machine, but there's something that feels really satisfying and intentional about the Mac click, which the Dell just doesn't have. It feels like a dull, hollow press with a hint of something loose inside. So it's pretty neck and neck so far. A couple more hardware comparisons before we get into the juicy software comparisons. Okay, one thing that you can be sure of on any current Mac system is that the speakers will not be bad. I mean, the ones on my 16-inch MacBook Pro are easily some of the best laptop speakers on the market. And the ones on this Air, they're not as good, but they're also not far off. It doesn't have any massive speaker grills like the Dell does, and all the sound comes out of this gap here, so it's actually being bounced off the screen towards you as opposed to coming directly at you. But it is a 6-speaker sound system compared to the Dell's quad speaker, and listen to the difference.
2021 has been an unbelievable ride for the Mr. Who's the Boss channel. I'm still in physical shock at what we've managed to do this year.
It sounds pretty good, and it feels like the audio has space because of the fact that you have larger speaker grills, but the first thing I noticed when I listened to that is that my voice doesn't sound how it should sound. So this is the Mac.
2021 has been an unbelievable ride for the Mr. Who's the Boss channel. I'm still in physical shock at what we've managed to do this year.
Okay, so you might have been able to hear here that the audio feels a little more cramped, but the tuning of my voice feels spot on. And also, it's just a little cleaner. Now, whether that's the fact that this whole laptop is made of aluminium and therefore there's less micro vibrations to disrupt the intended sound, or just an audio algorithm on Apple's end, I gotta hand it to them in that the result speaks for itself. Okay, so we've just looked it up, and Microsoft's YouTube channel is on 1.12 million subscribers, which means they're getting absolutely smashed by Apple, just like we are. But we're actually gaining on them. So if you want to help us get there, then a sub to the channel would be delightful. But maybe the biggest hardware question of them all is performance. If you spend the same amount of money on Mac or Windows, which one actually gets you the faster machine? And it's a more confusing question than it's ever been before, because Apple doesn't use off-the-shelf parts anymore. There used to be a day where Macs and Windows would both have the same Intel processors and the same Nvidia or AMD graphics, and life was easy. But almost everything Apple uses now is custom. That said, I don't think it's a stretch to say that on the spec front, Windows feels like a clear winner. I mean, you have a 13th gen Intel Core i7, which has 14 cores and can go all the way up to 5 GHz, compared to just 8 CPU cores that can go up to 3.5. You get 16 GB of RAM compared to 8, plus 1 TB of solid-state storage, which is again double what you're getting on the Air for the same price. And providing that you're in applications that can take advantage of that power, you'll see the difference. Like, open up a CPU benchmarking app like Geekbench, and you can very clearly see a 35% higher multi-core score. Dive into a storage speed test, and the SSD in the Dell will come out on top. Only slightly, though. And running a game. Even though this Dell is using Intel's own graphics, which are not the best, you'll get like 20% higher frames per second. So that should be it, right? Windows takes it away. Well, The numbers aren't the full story. For the vast majority of your day-to-day tasks, we are long past the point where the limiting factor is your hardware. It's all about the software. And the perk of Apple making their own chips is that they can build software around that hardware. So if you do your work, or you can do your work with Apple apps, like Pages and Keynote and Safari, some coding platforms and editing ones like Final Cut, those Apple apps will perform extremely well on the M2 Apple chip that this thing has. Actually, better than any Windows counterpart, because Dell doesn't have any say at all about how programs are specifically optimized for the selection of hardware that it chooses. And the biggest part of this, which flies so far under the radar, is that because the power requirements of Apple's hardware are so much lower, it stays fast when you take the cable out. Windows laptops? Not so much. As a matter of fact, just unplugging this cable without changing any of the power management settings turns a 35% performance win into a 40% loss. And on a laptop whose entire purpose is to be portable, that's a big deal. So I'll call this overall very broad performance category a draw. And that's a good segue to the overall efficiency of this thing. This Mac is silent. It doesn't have a fan because these Apple-made chips, the M2 in this case, are based on phone chips, which have had even less room for cooling than laptops. They allow the MacBook to boot up almost instantly, and the battery. Battery life is the single biggest advantage that Macs in 2023 have over Windows. To give you an idea, an average high-end Windows laptop might get you 5 hours of browsing the internet. This Dell will actually be above average. It'll get you 7 or so. The 15-inch MacBook Air can pump out 10 to 12. And because the Windows laptops also have to have so much larger batteries to even try and keep up, they're bulkier and it takes longer to charge them. So we talked about this Apple brick. This is a 30-watt charger, which is not by any stretch of the imagination generous from Apple. I've got phone chargers with 3 times the wattage. But still, this thing can fully charge the MacBook in 140 minutes. There's an optional 70-watt brick that can do it in 80. But the Dell, even with all of this, which is bigger than Milo's face, takes about 150, which puts it very behind overall in the efficiency category. But okay, it's time to shift gears to the software. So the Mac is running macOS Ventura, Dell is on Windows 11. Both will do the same core computer things, but just with each having a couple of their own clear perks. If you're used to Mac, it never really feels lacking, but Windows is the one if you're someone who really wants to get into the guts of your system to make it yours. You want themes? Easy. You want a Legend of Zelda wallpaper that reacts depending on where you hover your mouse, sure. You want to make it look like a Mac, you can do that too on Windows. So Windows takes the customization point, just with the slight caveat that I think out the box, without any customization, macOS is the prettier one. I guess the one upside of a lack of customization is order. The File Explorer feels less cluttered. Apps have more design consistency because Apple forces them to all work in a certain way if they want to be on Mac. And there's a very clear priority on animations, which makes the Mac feel less like a tool, more like an experience. The other upside to this control? Stability. The fact that Windows is made for everyone from the extreme gamer with their colossal $20,000 rig to the person who just wants to make their TV smart with a literal stick the size of a finger means that there's just a lot of rooms to encounter unexpected problems. Not to mention that Apple authors a lot more of the experience, whereas on Windows you have to rely on third-party developers making their own drivers, which tell your computer how the hardware should interact with the software, and they get it wrong. And then the cherry on top for all this control is that Macs are harder to penetrate with viruses. They're not invulnerable, like I've heard a lot of people say, but there is less malware out there for them. Because if you're a hacker, you're going to want to build your hacking tools to target the operating system that has the most number of users, so Windows. And because Windows is so widespread across countries and versions and devices, it naturally has more vulnerabilities for hackers to exploit. Speed is a bit of a weird one, in that on one hand, this is where you really feel the benefit of an operating system that lets you do whatever you want. With Windows, the fact that you can snap Windows into full screen and half screen is so much quicker than on Mac, where Apple's basically just said
no.
And instead, you're left there fiddling with your Windows manually until they're exactly 50-50. But on the other hand, the lack of customization on Macs allows for more optimization. The software feels like less of a burden on them than Windows can, and they tend to be able to perform better with equivalent hardware compared to Windows. Plus, they age better. You tend to find that Windows computers get very clogged up over time with the mountains of Windows updates that they chuck at you, and the file fragmentation that occurs as you install more and more programs. Macs do also slow down to some extent as new updates introduce new complexities, but it's not been nearly as noticeable in my experience. Here's the key thing that I'd say it boils down to, though. Well, actually, first, you can't get a new Mac for anything less than $1,000 or so, so up until that price, Windows is your answer by default. But then between $1,000 and $2,000, I think the Mac, as a general light computing device, feels like a more luxurious experience than an equivalently priced Windows, in that I think Apple prioritizes the little things that add up, like the sound and the feel of the trackpad, the stellar hardware construction, and Apple also optimizes its own apps in a way that Windows hasn't yet found a way to compete with. But the Mac lacks compatibility. This is the single biggest redeeming quality of Windows. Compatibility with a lot of work programs, especially those involving servers, and also games. If you want a game in any serious capacity on your computer, the choice is made for you. You'd instead use this £1,600 to specifically buy a Windows gaming laptop, like this ROG Strix. You'd sacrifice a little on the sleekness of the XPS or the Mac, as well as the color accuracy of the screen, but you'd get a bucket load of RGB and a graphics card that's almost four times more powerful than the one on the Mac, so you can run the same games in much higher settings. So, overall then, the scores are in. The Mac has more points, but obviously different categories are worth different amounts. So for you, which is the winner?
Well, I think the scoreboard doesn't lie, right? And the Mac won in all the areas I care about, and there's nothing that I need that's Windows exclusive. So I think I should crack on with the Mac.
Right now?
Right now.
Okay. I apologize for the last 15 minutes of editing. Whichever one you end up going for in the end, one tool you should definitely set up is Guardio. No word of a lie, just today, I've had 50 spam phishing emails. And if I so much as click on one bad link within them, that's enough for someone to gain access to my accounts and my data. So Guardio is a browser extension and a mobile app that acts like a digital shield looking over you. It scans all links before you click them. It scans all files before you download them. It traces the source of all the intrusive notifications you're getting to make sure they're not actually coming from viruses, and it can clear them from the source. As soon as you install it, it'll run an initial scan, it'll show you what threats you already have, and then as soon as you start your 7-day trial, it'll remove them. But it's really the ongoing protection that's the key thing, given that scammers are reinventing themselves every single day, and that genuine malware is now lurking in legitimate places like Google Ads. And what I like about Guardio is that it's very much an all-in-one solution. It tells you if a site you're about to click on is legit or not. It'll alert you in real time once your data leaks online so that you can change your passwords immediately. They have a cross-device feature that alerts you in real time when a malicious email bypasses your spam folder. And they're now offering us a 7-day trial and 20% off the already super affordable price of subscription for one Guardio account that covers 5 users. And that will auto-apply if you head to guard.io/boss. Nailed it.
How do I download Final Cut Pro?